Coming up on today's episode, we're going to talk about the men's tourney, what UConn did in winning back-to-back championships. Are they better than that Florida Gator team or that Duke team that did that? We'll get into that. We're also getting to John Calipari stepping down as the Kentucky Wildcat head coach to leave possibly for Arkansas. We'll get to the, you know, baseball, crying in baseball once again about the pitchers all getting hurt. Let's talk that Stephon Diggs trade and what it means for both sides, for Buffalo and Houston. All that more coming up. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Sports Talk from the Crib. I'm your host, Tanner Christian. And today's episode, yeah, we're talking about a lot of the men's college tournament was pretty damn good. UConn, impressive. And I enjoy the women's tournament. We're going to talk about that, what that meant for the sport and going forward for them. I was really impressed, not going to lie. I was pretty impressed by the women's game, especially that Final Four. We're going to talk about, you know, baseball, crying. I cry in baseball over the pitch count, timer. And a lot more injuries are happening in baseball now with the pitchers. It seems to be in record numbers since opening day, but we'll get into a lot of that. But first, you know, of course, the Stephon Diggs trade as well. But first, you know, if you're new, new episodes are airing every Tuesday and Friday. It's available on all streaming platforms as well on the website at sportstalkfromthecrib.com. And check us out on social media. Give us a follow. We're on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and X at Feely Heat Entertainment. That is Feely Heat ENT. So go give us a follow and shout out on there as well. All right, so let's jump into this first topic. We're going to talk about the UConn men's basketball team. They won the championship against Purdue 75-60. Pretty much just manhandled all their opponents in this tournament, proven to be this, you know, dominant back-to-back champions. Very impressive run, and they ended it. You know, they won every game by double digits. It's pretty damn impressive. The group being here, very solid. They were able to outlast Edie because even their coach, Dan Hurley, said, hey, if he scores 50 points, let him. Don't let him anybody else shoot the ball. Edie had 37 points, 10 rebounds on the night. I mean, geez. Of course, 37 out of their 60 points in the game. That's pretty damn impressive. And it just proved that philosophy works, you know. Give Coach Villa credit there in UConn and giving them back-to-back championships. And it was very impressive of this overall, man. Newton had a 20-point game. He played well. And it's this overall group, despite losing two of their top scorers in a draft this past year, they were still able to repeat as champions. You know, give Purdue, last year, remember, they were only the second number one seed to lose to a number 16 seed in the NCAA tournament. Bounced that embarrassing fashion. We're able to get back, you know, and have this impressive run to go to the championship game. So Purdue still, well, you still don't have an NCAA championship for the program, but you came close. And I just respect Edie a little bit more now because I feel like last year it just seemed like he was soft. How can you let that happen? You know, but this year the guy played the guy was just nuts all tournament long and all throughout this year. So I got a lot of respect for Edie, but he was the only guy to do anything last night. So even though the biggest problem is I have with the tournament is it started at 9 o'clock. I wanted to see some basketball. I've fallen asleep. I mean, I was like, yeah, UConn's probably going to win. I guess I can close my eyes. I'm like, out. And I missed the majority of the game. I had to kind of go back to watch some highlights and, you know, rewatch some of the game. I was like waiting all day. I was just, I can't stay up. I got to get up at 4 in the morning for work. Like, you know, so that was the biggest problem I actually had with the men's tournament. I don't understand why you're starting at 9 o'clock at night over here on the East Coast, but it is what it is. I don't think any championship game started that late in, like, any sport. But so I guess the question is now, this UConn team repeating, the first team to do it since the Gators, remember the mid-2000s team? They had, you know, Corey Brewer, Joakim Noah, you know, the whole group of boys there, for Florida. And Duke did it in the early 90s as well. Those last teams to repeat. Is this UConn team better than them? Now, while this UConn team, it's very impressive the way they just ran through the tournament these last couple years. But, man, I remember watching that, especially that Gators team play. And I gotta say, I think that Garrett's team was just that damn good. Like, that Garrett's team was awesome. I think they were better. I think that Duke team was pretty damn good. I know back then, you like the Garrett's team was, they were all the same guys as well. So that was a big difference. Like, especially back then, I feel like, you know, kids that stayed in school, they went their full ride, you know, so that's why they were able to bring it back. And today, everybody's kind of like one and done with all the money involved. It won't, I can get in the draft. Now they got these NIL deals, and especially now. So it's a little bit different era of basketball. Because back then, everybody kind of stayed in school and, you know, ran it back, like I said. So that is the biggest difference. But I would definitely take, and there were some other teams in college that had ridiculous runs. You know, it's just that Duke Grant Hill team, man, that was just another story too as well. I mean, geez, Grant Hill was better than anybody on this Connecticut team will ever be. And he was that at Duke. I'm talking college Grant Hill, not Detroit Pistons Grant Hill, not Phoenix Sun Grant Hill. You know, because we had those injuries in the NBA, he would have been one of the all-time greats, but I mean, he still is. That Grant Hill Duke team, man, you got to take it over this Connecticut team. So that's just another one. You can even go back to, you know, those other dominant teams in the early days. I don't know, Kareem, UCLA, if you really want to go back and see how dominant that team was. Where they go like 88 out of 90 games, 88-2. I believe when they had their little run. So this Connecticut team, while being impressive, the reason why I was saying this is because their coach, Dan Hurley, came out and said, hey, I put this team up against anybody in the history of college basketball, how dominant we were. And I get it. But, man, don't forget about those other teams. I know we're getting, you know, longer, especially in the 90s. Like, we're talking 30 years ago with that Duke team. You know, it's just another almost 20 years since that Gator team. It's been that long already. This is, gosh, time is flying. But anyways, let's not forget about those teams. So we're talking about the men's tournament. Let's talk about the women's tournament. You know, I would say this is probably the first time in quite some time that I actually watched it. Now, I watched a lot of it. I was actually pretty impressed with the women's tournament. Now, I know it's not as much talent-wise as at the top of the, you know, list there. We got a great Final Four. It was great watching Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, you know, LSU, Iowa, this, you know, duel out. And it was great to see South Carolina finish undefeated. They were able to beat Caitlin Clark. You know, South Carolina went 39-0, and they won the national championship for them. I was impressed. I mean, I don't know what to really say about it. It was great basketball. You know, I enjoyed both the men's and the women's tournaments this year, and I've enjoyed it a hell of a lot better than anything the NBA has really provided. Because this year has been just abysmal in my eyes with the NBA, the amount of blowouts, the amount of scoring, the lack of defense, everything. We've had great moments, so hopefully the playoffs are just around the corner. We've got about a week left of the regular season, so maybe it changes once playoff time comes around. But as of right now, the college tournament blew everything away than what the NBA has been this year. And especially with all those upsets in the beginning, we thought we were going to have a lot of Cinderellas, but both sides, the best teams did win. UConn dominated. South Carolina dominated everybody in women's basketball. So we got to show some love to women's basketball because it was just, I enjoyed it. It brought, what do they have? Over 18 million viewers. Watch that national championship game. That's like NFL numbers. Like, that's how everybody was tuned in. It was great for the game, and maybe it puts the WNBA on the map, puts the college tournament, March Madness on the map for women's basketball, not only for men's. So it's a great opportunity, I think. You know, lanes have opened up more, And the promotion, there was a lot of promotion with the women's game. That's what made me more intrigued. I'm like, you know what? I got to watch Caitlin Clark. I got to see what she's about. I got to see if she's draining threes like Steph Curry and see if that team can actually get to the championship and win and knock off the undefeated South Carolina. That was a good matchup. They didn't do it, but it was just great to see. We saw some great basketball. You know, it's just the women's game, I believe, if it gets to the more promotion, now, are they going to do $18 million? I don't think so. I don't know if they can keep that up. But I believe it is going in the right direction. And I think they can actually capitalize off this because there's people this time, you know, hanging out. Even like the grocery stores is talking about, hey, have you seen Caitlin Clark? Like it brought attention, national attention to the game. Like, and a lot of it has to do with Caitlin Clark and, you know, say Angel Reese and this, the South, whole South Carolina going in it, and, you know, and hey, Caitlin Clark beat UConn. UConn's been dominating women's, you know, basketball forever for the last couple of decades. And to have that in the Final Four, and, you know, this, the names, you know, people's names in women's basketball. And it's like you never really did that before. And I mean, you did. And I remember Lisa Leslie, like that was the biggest star I remember growing up. And, you know, you got Sue Bird. And, you know, you had a lot of great women's basketball players. You know, Diana Taurasi, Cheryl Swoops, Maya Moore. Those are some, like a lot of it was like UConn. You know, I remember from, you know, the players' names and whatnot. So I think that this really made it interesting. If you read some random person in the grocery store that talks about women's basketball, that's what I'm talking about, you know, and that's a great feeling, you know, it's great for women's sports and whatnot. So now we're going to top back to the men's side here. Talk about Kentucky basketball. Is this still an ideal job? Because John Calipari has recently, you know, rumors going along, and now he is officially stepping down as Kentucky head coach and possibly taking the job at Arkansas, I guess. And the real question is Kentucky still an ideal basketball job? Is it still like one of the best jobs there is in basketball? You know, in basketball. And Kentucky has been up there. Remember this? This is kind of like, you know, because I'm saying this because I think the Alabama head coach turned down the job. UConn coach, of course, is going to turn down the job. Villanova guy, former Villanova coach, probably not going to be there, you know. Yeah, they ran Tubby. I remember them running Tubby Smith out. You know, Kentucky really just runs them all out. That's been good for them. John Calipari has basically said, you know, I think it's time for a new voice there. So he's out because, you know, he's kind of struggled the last few years, especially with this program. And he's probably right. Probably do need a new voice and whatnot. But Kentucky, is it still that ideal spot? Kentucky, it really was. Like, you know how the Alabama job in football, that's how Kentucky was in basketball. So it was the opposite. You know, Kentucky football is not really an ideal job. Alabama football is, right? And he's turned down that job for a reason. Because I think he does have, with all this, you know, movement in college, you know, being more level, you know, fair leveled here. And with any team can kind of really turn it around, any program that is. And I like it. You know, you look at college basketball, you think Kentucky, you're thinking Duke, you're thinking North Carolina, you know, really big schools that have been so great, and especially in recent years. And it's just the ideal spot. Like, those are the jobs you should want. As for Kentucky basketball now, I don't think people are just necessarily going to jump from their program to go coach in Kentucky now. I don't think it has that prestige like it used to. So who could be next there? Like, I don't know. Somebody, I heard somebody say it. I think it was on one of the sports shows about, and I don't know if he'll do it, but he may go back to the college ranks. And that's Billy Donovan. That's a name to kind of keep an eye out for. He's turning close to the Chicago Bulls. You know, Chicago Bulls, they're just not going to go anywhere maybe after this season he can look into get back in the college ranks. That could be an option. And another option, maybe Bruce Pearl, who's coached at Tennessee. He's currently at Auburn. Maybe he makes that move since he knows the whole SEC like this. Maybe he makes that move to Kentucky. That's another one to kind of keep your eye out on, I guess, and see what it is. But me, personally, I just don't think Kentucky basketball has that aura like it used to. All right, I actually can't wait to get into this next topic because I think this next one really has some impact both on the Buffalo Bills and the Houston Texans. What a trade this is for the Houston Texans. Can you dig it? Yes, I can. Because Stephon Diggs got traded to the Houston Texans basically for a box of chocolates. Like, here you go. Give me some candy back for him. We're just going to drop him off. And that's basically what this happened. Houston gets Stephon Diggs. And they also get a sixth-round pick in this year's draft, which is going to be number 189 overall. And they also get a 2025 fifth-round pick. The Bills only get a 2025 second-round pick. So they don't even acquire a pick in this year's draft for this trade. And the make matters even better for Houston. And I kind of like that they did this. They voided the final 3 years of Stephon Diggs' contract. So that means he could be an unrestricted free agent after the end of this year. So it gives him some motivation. It's going to be in this, you know, what he's going to be 32 by next year, next year. He's turning 31 this year. So they avoid the final 3 years, gives him some incentives for this year. He can make upwards of almost $21 million signing bonus. So this thing is laced with incentives here as well. He can make he's going to be basically making $22 million this year and then become a free agent next year. So it gives him an opportunity to get another big deal rather than wait out his contract when he will be 34, 35 years old. So big time move for Stephon Diggs himself. And the best part is for the Texans, he's only going to count for 5.876 against the cap this year for them. So it's a win-win for Stephon Diggs and the Houston Texans. As for the Bills, it's a big time loss. I know there was friction there last year before the season even started between him and Josh Allen. And then this past year, what was it, the first 5-6 games? He had 100-yard receiving in each game, out there balling. Then kind of teetered off, only averaging a little over 50 yards a game. They fired the coordinators, Ken Dorsey, And they kind of switched to a more balanced run attack as the, season progressed. And pretty much filtered out Stephon Diggs, it seemed like, in that offense for some weird reason. And guess what? You got the same result. But let's say something. Wherever Stephon Diggs is playing, he's making your quarterback better. When he was with Minnesota, the miracle, caught the ball. This guy is big time. I think he gets a lot of flack. The guy just wants to win. He wants to get the best out of him. I don't feel like he really, liked Josh Allen. I guess the Bills GM recently came out and even said that he spoke with Josh Allen, let him know about Stephon Diggs' trade. Guess they're cool with it. I don't really know about all that. Diggs is happy to be out of Buffalo. I tell you what, to go down to Houston and play with CJ Stroud. The guy is already out in the practice field. Can you imagine this? The trio in Houston. CJ Stroud was a rookie last year. It's going to be his second year. I said last year before the draft that he's going to be the best player. So far, it's looking so good. I told y'all Bryce Young was going to be a bust. CJ Stroud was that guy. And it's looking that way again. And now you give him this weapon. Now you got him, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz. You signed Joe Mixon to carry the ball this year. The Houston Texans are making a run in the AFC. This is a big-time move. It's a no-brainer. You got him on the deal. This is an A-plus trade. And the Bills is looking like a D. This trade is like they fleeced the Buffalo Bills with this. This is all you get for Stephon Diggs? I can't believe it. CJ Stroud, man, this Houston Texans team could be lights out. You could line Stephon Diggs on the outside. You could play him in the slot. You could do whatever you want. Having him, Nico Collins was awesome last year. Got Tank Dell returning from the injury. He was a rookie last year. He's going to be his second year, so we see how he comes off the injury. But he played so well. And this Houston team is going to be a threat in the AFC. They still got a lot of draft capital, too, so they can really improve their team even more. So the offense is going to look a lot better. I know it kind of staled out. Hopefully the run game will disrupt the offensive line a little bit more. But this Houston team is going to be great. And this Stephon Diggs trade, I still can't believe this is all they got for Stephon Diggs, who I know has been disgruntled. Oh, maybe difficult in the locker room. I think that's a bunch of crap. Because this guy has played well, plays his heart out every game. And he knew Josh Allen wasn't going to get him to the promised land. And I know the AFC's tougher. I know everybody out there in the AFC, it's just going to be a great year. And can anybody knock off the Chiefs? And maybe this is a way that Texans can do it by making this move for Stephon Diggs. Because I think he still has a lot left. I think he's going to come out here and this ball out. Even, let's say he has a few of those games where he's, oh, he only has two catches for 32 yards this game or, you know, something small. I think he'd be more content with it with C.J. Stroud as his quarterback. And the way this Houston team is coached by DeMeco Ryans, I don't really see a lot of turmoil happening with Stephon Diggs in Houston. And as for the Bills, they lost Gabe Davis too. Who do you have to throw the ball to, Josh Allen? You saw what he was. Everybody thought he was a bust before they made that trade for Stephon Diggs, and he just started excelling. Now, what are you going to do without all those weapons? I tell you what, there's going to be a lot more running the ball. There's going to be a lot more two tight end sets. You know, that's why they drafted Dalton Kincaid. He may be the receiver guy. He's the only guy. They signed Curtis Samuel over from Washington. I'm not really care for that move. I know he's a good receiver, but not number one. But the Bills, you all messed up. I'm happy. I'm a Dolphin fan. I don't have to face this guy at least twice a year. I'm good. He torched Miami every time, it seemed like. Nobody, Howard couldn't get him. Ramsey couldn't get him. These guys couldn't get him. So I'm happy he's out of the AFC East. As for all you guys in the AFC South, well, just know you're in for a load of trouble when you face the Houston Texans. And the beauty about it is, I wonder if Houston's got Buffalo on the schedule next year. I don't think they do. But that would be awesome if they did, right? And so, Stephon Diggs, man, big-time trade for Houston. It's a big A-plus trade grade for me. I'm actually excited to see that Houston offense and see how much they can excel. I expect big things out of Houston. Build on the draft. You got a little more work to do. But look out for the Texans this coming year. And that's going to wrap up today's episode. I want to thank you all for joining me here on Sports Talk from the Crib with your favorite sports host, Tanner Christian. Remember, new episodes are airing every Tuesday and Friday, and it's available on all streaming platforms. Be sure to check out the website at sportstalkfromthecrib.com. You stream the podcast on there as well. And check out the rest of the website. Subscribe to the newsletter. You get a newsletter every month about what's going on, some new things going on with the show. And check us out on social media. We're at Feel the Heat Entertainment. That is Feel the Heat ENT. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and next. Thanks for joining me again. Catch y'all on Friday.